If you are ever at a party or something and you want to take a picture and you need a tripod, but you don't have anything with you, look around for a lamp, because the threads on the lampshade screw at the top will be the same size as the threads for the screw on the underside of your camera. And if you have a zipper that's constantly getting stuck, like on your jacket or something, grab a pencil and rub the lead along the teeth, because the graphite will lubricate them and allow your zipper to slide more easily. You can also do the same thing with chapstick, although it might get on your clothes and, well, I mean, the pencil will too. Whatever, chapstick or a pencil will help you unstick your zippers if they stick. The best cord management solution that I've found for earbuds is a mini Altoids tin. You just have to wrap them up and stick them in there, and it keeps them from getting tangled, it keeps them from getting smushed, or, you know, it keeps the wires from getting all janked up. Although, make sure how you go about winding them up. Do it, look up the over-under if you don't know what that means. And when you go to, like, a grocery store, or when you go to do, like, food shopping, shopping cart, put the heavy stuff on the end that's toward you. It'll be easier to steer, and, yeah, just put the heavier shit towards the back of the cart near you. But the... Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily the opposite, because, I mean, you know, the thing moves in, like, the opposite direction, but whatever. Pickup truck, put the heavy shit towards the back so that it's over the rear axle. And I'm sure some of you have seen this floating around. I mean, it's old. It's been around for years now. But one of those, like, life hack infographics. Yeah. One of those things. Two that I picked up from there and have used many times, and they're both completely fucking awesome, is if you are too far away from your car for the little unlock thingy, like the signal from that, to register and, like, make it all the way to your car, you stick it up underneath your chin and aim it into your skull and then press the button, and it totally works. It's really, really awesome. And the reason why is because your skull acts as a parabolic reflector, I believe, which is, like, kind of like how, like, a satellite dish gathers the signal and then focuses it back out, and you use your head to do that, and it makes your car, you know, you can check and make sure that you locked your car, even if you're, like, all the way across the parking lot and you're already up to the doors or whatever. And then the other one from that was the phone charger thing. If you have lost your phone charger, or if you just happen to be out and near a hotel and you need a phone charger because yours is, or your phone's almost dead, whatever, go to Lost and Found and ask them, or just be like, hey, I was here for a party or whatever. I was here recently and I left my phone charger behind. Do you have it in your Lost and Found? Because they always have, like, a whole Ziploc baggie or little box or whatever full of them. And what else? This one sometimes works and sometimes it ends up, you probably would have just been better off, you know, like, waiting and listening and doing what you're supposed to. But if you have to make a call to any company that uses the automated systems and you already know that it takes fucking forever to get through all the little menu options and get to talking to somebody, if that's what you need to do, when it gives you your chance to talk, like when it says, you know, please say whatever you want, just to fucking whatever, you just mumble. Like, put your hand over your mouth and just, like, and the system gets all pissed off and it goes, sorry, I wasn't able to understand that. Please repeat your request or whatever. And you do that again. And then usually it only takes, like, two tries. And it goes, please hold while we connect you to a representative or whatever the fuck it says. And then you get somebody on the phone and it's nice because you don't have to sit there and listen to their bullshit. And yeah. excuse me. Night vision. If you want, if you need to make your eyes adjust to darkness quickly, close them for, like, I don't know, 20 or 30 seconds, but put your hands over your eyes too, because your eyelids are not that thick and they don't really block out the light as well. Cover your hands with your eyes for 20 seconds, and then your hands will adjust and you'll have wonderful digital night vision, or manual digital. You can see with your hands. And once you have your night vision, don't fuck it up by using, or the hell word am I trying to think of? Like, resist from fucking up, prevent from, what the fuck? Whatever. Make sure you don't fuck it up by, no, because that, god damn it. I can words. I swear to God, I can words. Keep from fucking it up by only using red light, because red light will not screw your night vision over. And with kitties, a way of sort of like waving hello to them, or like, it's more than that. It's like a secret handshake. Yeah, it's like the secret handshake to get into the clubhouse with cats. You look at them, you have to like catch their eye contact first and wink and then blink immediately afterwards. And not like super quick, like do it kind of slow, but yeah. The wink and blink, and it's like the secret handshake to cats. What else? If you have a dog who's a picky eater, one thing that you can do to try and boost its motivation for wanting to eat is, and I mean, yeah, you have to be really either crazy or dedicated to do shit like this, I guess, but whatever. I'm an animal person, so fuck it. You get down on the floor with them in their dish, and you basically stick your face near their food and pretend to be eating it. And you got to put yourself, like, almost directly in between the food bowl and them. And, like, as you're pretending to eat their food, every once in a while you kind of, like, furtively glance back over your shoulder at them to make sure that they're not coming. And then turn your head back and start eating their food again. And eventually they'll be like, the fuck does she have? That's my shit. What is she doing? You know, and then they'll walk up. And that's the thing. Because you think you have them then when they start to walk up. But oh, no. You got to keep at it. Because you can't make it too easy for them. Because then they'll just be like, psh, fuck this. Go back to being a fucking picky asshole. And I'm going to go lay down over there and never fucking eat. So, yeah. You have to kind of like shimmy and like wiggle yourself on the floor, because they'll approach from like one side, you know, since you're obviously in the way. You have to like kind of like shimmy yourself so that you stay in the way as they're approaching, and just kind of like, you know, keep the game up a little bit. But yeah, eventually they'll start like sniffing and getting closer. And with my pup, I would usually have to like take some out of the bowl with my fingers and offer it to her, and then, you know, continue like eating her shit. Because if you just try to give her the whole bowl, then she loses interest. And yeah, pain in the ass dog. And I have way too much patience for that kind of thing. But yeah, so that's how to get a picky eater to eat. Baking, if you ever bake, sift your flour beforehand so that you don't get as many clumps. And it incorporates better into the batter if you sift it first. Wet your hands too before, if you're doing something with cookie dough where you have to like physically, you know, like manipulate it and, you know, like roll it into balls or do whatever the hell, shape it into something, whatever. If you wet your hands first, it won't stick to your fingers as much. And same thing goes for if you're going to fry something and you bread it, you know, the like egg wash and then into the cornmeal or flour or panko or whatever the hell you're going to put on the outside of it. If you make your hands wet first, you don't end up with like, like, you know, sticky, raw, doughy club fingers at the end of it quite as badly. Vinegar and newspaper is like the best glass cleaner ever. Mirrors, windows, whatever. Not quite sure why, really, but it does the whole like, you know, streak free shine thing, and like, yeah, so there's that. I don't know when this would really come in handy, because I can't really remember why the hell this was, like, the way to go when I did it, but if there's ever a time when you need to lock your garage door from the inside, but have the, have the little pull cord yanked free so that you could just, like, roll it open by hand. So if you ever need to, like, leave the house and have that little pull cord free, but don't want the garage door to be able to be opened from the outside by hand, and you don't have a fucking padlock anywhere that you can find, a C-clamp makes a good substitution for that. And again, I can't remember why the fuck that was like, okay, hey, yeah, this will solve the problem. Let's do it like this. Okay, perfect. Let's go. But whatever, if you ever find yourself in a similar situation or something, that can be an effective solution. A really simple guide for a screwdriver or a drill, although you have to be, like, a lot more careful with the drill, obviously, because it's a fucking drill. but a really simple guide for that is just to get a block of wood, like a smallish block of wood, and drill some fucking holes in it. Again, that's probably not something that's really going to come up that much, but I don't know. A handy little thing to have around every once in a while. Oh, if you suck ass at gauging what size at gauging what size bit to use to drill your pilot hole, you can use a crescent wrench as a sort of, like, ghetto caliper to just see what size the screw is and then, you know, use that to figure out what size drill bit you need. That's a good one. I'm, like, such a fucking ghetto asshole with this shit, but, if you go to the hardware store, they have bubble levels that are just, like, a little circle. It's like, you'd use it to level, like, you know, a pool table or something like that. But it's just a little tiny circle with a little bubble and a little, like, target, you know, bullseye target thing in the center, painted on the top. Just a little, like, lightweight clear plastic buddy. But you get one of those, and you get a little square of Velcro, and you slap it on the back, and then you put the other half on the, like, butt of your drill. And then you have a, like, ghettoist of the ghetto fucking drill press kind of deal going on. I mean, do not try and use that for things where an actual drill press is, like, necessary, because obviously don't do that. But if you're not the greatest at drilling shit straight and keeping it level and making all your shit be the same at the end, that's a good little way to keep yourself on point. you can also use a ruler, and I mean, if you have an actual plumb bob, then, like, use that, but, or just, you know, make one by tying something on a fucking string. You can use that to level stuff. Ooh, you can make sure that something is square, like that the angle is perfectly 90 degrees. You don't even need, like, an actual ruler. You just need, okay. You don't need a ruler. You could do it with other things. You can figure out how to, like, make that work, but let's say you do have a ruler, because you're not going to be doing this kind of shit and not have at least some kind of fucking measure tool, something handy. So you start at the point, like at the corner of the angle, and you go up three, just call it 3 inches. It doesn't matter what really the unit of measurement is, but it's just the numbers. So you go up 3 inches, and then you go back to the corner and go to the right or the left or whichever way your fucking angle is going, 4 inches. And then you measure the distance between the 3-inch point and the 4-inch point. And if that is 5 inches, then your shit is level.
Hi. Sup. Hi. That was supposed to be square, not level. My bad.
Okay. And that is some kind of mathematical formula, something that I can't fucking remember. It might have to do with Pythagoras, but I'm not totally sure because I don't math for shit. But that's a really handy little thing to remember. It's the 3-4-5 rule. A friend showed me this, and I wasn't crazy about it, but apparently it's useful to a lot of people, so whatever. If you are caulking, if you're putting caulk on something, God damn it. Shut up. If you need to put caulk on something, and it's, the something is, it forms a right angle, you know, like a shower, bath, whatever the fuck, you can use a credit card. I mean, you know, probably not like your fucking like debit card or whatever, like your bank card and shit, but, you know, get like the, nobody's gonna fucking Blockbuster video card. Get your fucking defunct old bookstore card or some kind of card that is plasticky like that and, like, stick it in the fucking corner and, like, move it and smooth your cock out like that. Anyway, wait, no, okay, one more cock thing. If you get the clear silicone cock, you can, squirt it out onto the bottom of a rug and make, you know, like, just like a little, like, throw rug or whatever. Or fuck, you can do it on anything, I guess, but you can make it have, like, a non-skid bottom backing thing really simply without having to buy those stupid fucking little mats that never stay in place, or without getting a rug that just has that shit built in or whatever. Super glue's fun. Super glue. Okay, so you know it has like a retardedly fucking short, stupid ass grr shelf life, and your shit dries out and like the whole tube is fucking hard after, you know, like a month or two. If you can even get the fucking cap off. Yeah, that's the other thing. Always store your super glue, like, with the cap aiming up. Every fucking time that I put it on its side, it just glues the whole fucking shit shut. But, yeah, so to extend the shelf life, like, a whole fucking hell of a lot, store your super glue in an airtight jar and put some of those little silica packets in there. They're those little things you get in, like, shoeboxes have them, a lot of food products have them. Vitamins have them a lot of times, but they're just those little packets that say do not eat. And they have like little balls or little like crap in them. and the reason it works is because super glue cures by reacting with moisture that's in the air. So if you take out like the whole air, variable, and stick a silica packet in the jar with it so that whatever humidity is in the air that's in the jar goes into the silica packet and not into the super glue, then it'll keep your super glue from polymerizing and hardening and becoming useless to you. And it's, I don't know, it's just a neat little trick. And, I mean, I guess, like, the reason why it does that outside of the jar is because the plastic that makes up, like, the cap isn't totally airtight. Which seems fucking, like, weird and retarded because, like, it forms a seal and it keeps the super glue from coming out, but whatever. Well, no, because, like, its air is, like, a hell of a lot smaller molecularly than fucking super glue, so I guess it doesn't, like, doesn't seem that. Whatever, I'm just thinking out loud, sorry. But, yeah, so that's how you keep your super glue from going to shit. Airtight jar with silica packets. And another neat thing. Another friend taught me this a long-ass time ago. I've been using it for years. I fucking love it. Another neat thing that you can do with super glue is mix it with baking soda. And it's really cool. It makes it cure pretty much instantly. It makes it a lot stronger. So it doesn't have, what do they call it? Low shearing point. It doesn't have, like, as low of a shearing point. So it basically the bond won't be as easily breakable. And, you can, like, sand it down afterwards, too. Like, it makes it kind of, like, rough, whatever. Like, rough surface after it dries. And you can, like, sand it down and shit. So you can, like, fill little holes in it with, or fill little holes in stuff like wood with it. It works okay on plastic, but if you're going to do it on, like, smooth plastic or something, score the surface a little bit. Or just, like, rough it up with a file or something first. Just to give it more of a, you know, more of, like, a rough surface area to bond to. But, yeah, that can be fun for stuff. It doesn't really work well on glass, like, at all. But, I mean, if you score the surface, like scratch it up a little bit, then it'll kind of work, but I wouldn't rely on it to work or to stay stuck like that for too long. And nail file will get super glue off your fingers, too. probably better to use like the buffer side and not the really, really rough side, but yeah, quick way. Cause like soap, you know, soap doesn't do a damn thing to get super glue off, but you can like file it off yourself easily enough. Supposedly the right size flathead can turn pretty much any screw. I don't know, I've had varying amounts of success with that, but I don't have a huge, huge selection of flathead sizes, so I don't know, I can't really speak too much to that one, but supposedly that's how that's supposed to go. If you have a flathead screw and no screwdriver, you can use a coin, but I mean, pretty much everyone knows that. Ooh, if you need a wrench and you really don't have one, and see this... Whatever. Sometimes I guess this has happened. It seems so weird to me to have this and not have a fucking wrench, but whatever. If you have a bolt and two nuts, like, handy, you can make, like, a ghetto wrench out of that, pretty much. Just put the fucking bolts on and make enough space between them for it to be the same size as the wrench that you would use, and do the damn thing. Just hopefully it's a nice long bolt so you have enough leverage to make it turn, but whatever. Don't use pliers in place of a wrench. That just doesn't go well. Like, even channel lock pliers, you can kind of get away with that, but it's still probably going to strip it. Zip ties, cut the lead end and not the head end, because then you can reuse it. Shaving razor. If you use, like, little... Not like the totally, like, disposable razors, although I guess it would probably work on those too, but whatever. What's what I'm looking for? Safety razor. I think that's, like, the overall designation for all those little dudes, but whatever. If you take that, and it's... Or if your razor's getting dull, you can sharpen it. And, I mean, kind of quote-unquote sharpen, because it's not... You're not actually sharpening it, you're just deburring it, but if you take it and run it, like, the wrong way, not sideways or not... you know, like the way that you would use to shave, but just like the wrong way on the leg of a pair of jeans. Just do like, you know, a bunch of swipes like up the leg one way and then like a bunch of swipes up the leg the other way. It'll deburr your razor and make it a little bit sharper again for a while until you have to change it or get a new one or whatever. I just found out, I don't know, a handful of years ago now that I have been tying knots the wrong way my entire life. Just like the basic, like, tie your shoe knot. Yeah, so there's this thing called a granny knot, which is pretty much how I've tied shit always, just because, I don't know, the muscle memory is, you know, it's a basic over-under knot, so my muscle memory has always done it with, like, go over the side that you go over with, is in, like, your right hand, so right side over, and then, you know, pull the knot and, like, make the little fucking bunny ears, and then right side over again. And that doesn't make a good knot. You gotta go over with the same side that you used the second time as you used on the first time. No. Same one that you used on the first one on the second. I'm fucking so bad at explaining shit, I'm sorry. Just Google granny knot, it'll be so much easier, but yeah. If you have some kind of rope and you want to know what it's made of, and this goes for like thread or like fabric or whatever, or anything else too, natural fibers will burn, whereas synthetic fibers will melt. So cotton, silk, shit like that, wool, those will all burn, which means that like you'll be left with, like, it'll just burn cleanly away. Synthetic, you know, polyester, nylon, other shit like that, it'll just melt down into like a little blob of, you know, burnt looking plasticky shit that smells like death. Rock salt, which you can get at the grocery store, it's I think people use it for making ice cream or something, I don't know, but if you get rock salt and rubbing alcohol and swirl it around, it will clean your bong like nobody's fucking business. It's like the easiest fucking way to clean it ever. What else? Excuse me. for all those of you, for all my fellow dirty, horrible, nasty smokers out there. Yes, I like to have a cigarette once in a while. A little bit more than once in a while. Whatever, leave me alone. If you ever have your cigarette, if you ever get it so it's like only halfway lit and you don't have like a lighter or like another way to, you know, finish lighting it with fire the way you should be, if you hold it so that the ember is pointing towards the ground and like slightly angle it so that the unlit side is up, like not a lot, just kind of like slightly, but the whole thing is still mostly vertical, and blow gently on the unlit side, that can sometimes get the ember to spread. Sometimes it does nothing, and either way, you're going to look like a fucking jackass if you're out in public standing there doing that. But sometimes that can work and, like, get it to spread around the whole thing and, you know, burn evenly and all that. I know if your car won't start, you can push start it if it's a manual transmission, but I don't know how exactly to tell you to go about doing that. I don't know what gear or whatever it's supposed to. Yeah. I really, 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 really want to learn how to drive a fucking manual transmission. And it's just one of those things that I had never gotten around to. But yeah, I don't really know much about them, except that the whole when to do the clutch thing that's supposed to be so like, oh, you'll just know when to do it. I don't fucking get it. That's the only thing I know about manual transmission cars, which is really sad, but eh. If your wheels ever get stuck in like mud or in whatever, sometimes you can use the floor mats and like wedge it under there to get yourself unstuck. But I guess that can be met with varying levels of success too. But I mean, hell, it's worth a try. I mean, it's better than fucking digging and shit, right? Okay, I think I've probably gone on way, way, way long enough with this crap, so. Cheers, enjoy. I hope somebody finds something in this helpful or interesting or whatever the hell. And if you know shit like this, like other little things like this, you should totally tell me, because I really, really like shit like this. Okay, that's it.